All right, folks, gather round because we're about to embark on a journey through the fascinating world of Stoic wisdom. In this episode, we're going to shine a spotlight on 13 of these personalities, exploring their traits, their impact on our lives, and most importantly, how to deal with them in a way that protects our own peace of mind and keeps us on the path to a fulfilling life. We'll draw wisdom from ancient Stoic philosophers like Marcus Aurelius, Epictetus, and Seneca, and we'll also look at modern-day examples to see how these personality types manifest in our everyday lives. So, whether you're dealing with a toxic co-worker, a manipulative friend, or a family member who's always raining on your parade, this episode is for you. Get ready to learn how to navigate these challenging relationships with grace, wisdom, and a healthy dose of Stoic detachment. Remember, you have the power to choose who you let into your life and how you respond to their influence. So let's equip ourselves with the Stoic tools we need to create a life that's filled with positive relationships, inner peace, and unshakable joy. Let's get started. Number 1. The Complainer, the Chronic Grumbler, Draining Your Stoic Serenity. Let's kick things off with a character we all know too well. The Complainer, you know the type. They're the ones who always find a cloud in every silver lining, a rain shower on every sunny day. The weather, their job, the traffic, the coffee that's too hot or too cold. Nothing is ever quite right in their world. Now, you might be thinking, what's the big deal? I can just tune them out. But it's not always that easy. The complainer's negativity is like a leaky faucet, a constant drip, drip, drip that slowly erodes your own mental well-being. It's like trying to meditate in a room full of screaming toddlers, challenging to say the least. The Stoics, those wise folks from ancient times, were all about focusing on what we can control and accepting what we can't. As Epictetus put it, the chief task in life is simply this: to identify and separate matters so that I can say clearly to myself which are externals not under my control and which have to do with the choices I actually control. The complainer's grievances are often about externals, things they can't control, and their constant focus on these externals can drag you down into their pit of negativity, making it harder for you to maintain your own stoic equilibrium. The Complainer in the Wild. Let's paint a picture. You're at a family gathering, and your Aunt Mildred is holding court, complaining about everything from the lackluster potato salad to the neighbor's new dog that barks too much. Or maybe you're at work, and your colleague is constantly moaning about their workload, their boss, or the office coffee machine that never seems to work properly. Their negativity is contagious. It seeps into your own thoughts, making you question your own happiness and contentment. You might even find yourself starting to complain along with them, just to fit in or to try to appease them. The Stoic Antidote. So, how do you deal with a complainer without letting their negativity drag you down? The Stoics offer a few strategies. 1. Limit your exposure. If possible, try to minimize your interactions with the complainer. This doesn't mean you have to cut them out of your life completely, but it does mean being selective about when and how you engage with them. 2. Practice mental detachment. If you can't avoid the complainer, try to mentally distance yourself from their negativity. Remind yourself that their complaints are their own, not yours. You don't have to take on their emotional baggage. 3. Redirect the conversation. If the complainer starts to spiral into negativity, try to gently steer the conversation in a more positive direction. Ask them about something they're passionate about or something good that's happened recently. set boundaries. If the complainer's negativity is becoming too much to handle, don't be afraid to set boundaries. You can politely excuse yourself from the conversation, or let them know that you're not in the mood to listen to complaints right now. Remember, you have control over your own thoughts and reactions. You don't have to let the complainer's negativity dictate your own emotional state. As Marcus Aurelius said, you have power over your mind, not outside events. Realize this, and you will find strength. So, the next time you encounter a complainer, take a deep breath and remind yourself that you have the power to choose how you respond. You can let their negativity drag you down, or you can rise above it and maintain your own stoic serenity. The choice is yours. Remember, you are the master of your own emotional domain. Don't let the complainers of the world steal your joy or disrupt your inner peace. Stay strong, stay positive, and keep focusing on what you can control. Number 2. The drama magnet, navigating the turbulent waters of perpetual chaos. Picture this. You're cruising through life, enjoying the smooth sailing, when suddenly you encounter a Category 5 hurricane disguised as a person. That, my friends, is the drama magnet. They're the ones who always seem to be in the midst of some crisis, conflict, or controversy. Their life is a soap opera, and they're the star of the show. They might thrive on the attention, the adrenaline rush of constant chaos, or maybe they genuinely struggle to navigate life's complexities. Either way, their drama has a way of sucking you into its vortex, leaving you feeling exhausted and emotionally drained. The Stoics, with their emphasis on tranquility and reason, would caution against getting entangled in the drama magnet's web. Marcus Aurelius wisely advised, "The happiness of your life depends upon the quality of your thoughts." If you allow yourself to be constantly drawn into someone else's drama, it's going to wreak havoc on your own inner peace. The drama magnet in action. Let's get real for a second. We all know a drama magnet. Maybe it's that friend who's always fighting with their significant other, or the coworker who seems to have a new workplace feud every week. They might even be a family member whose life is a constant roller coaster of ups and downs. At first, their energy might seem exciting, even captivating, but soon enough you realize that being around them is like walking on eggshells. You never know when the next explosion is going to happen, and you're constantly on edge, trying to avoid getting caught in the crossfire. The Stoic strategy, detachment and discernment. So how do you deal with a drama magnet without getting swept away in their storm? The Stoics offer a couple of powerful tools. 1. Reflective listening. This is a fancy way of saying, listen without getting sucked in. When the drama magnet starts venting, resist the urge to offer advice or take sides. Instead, simply reflect their feelings back to them. For example, if they say, "I can't believe my boss did that to me," you could respond with, "It sounds like you're feeling really frustrated and disrespected." This shows empathy without getting entangled in the drama. 2. Selective unavailability. The Stoics were big on prioritizing their time and energy. They understood that you can't be everything to everyone, and sometimes that means being unavailable for other people's drama. If the drama magnet constantly calls you with their latest crisis, it's okay to set boundaries. You can say something like, "I'm here for you, but I can't talk right now. I'm in the middle of something important." Remember, you're the captain of your own ship. You have the power to choose your course, to navigate away from stormy waters, and to create a life of tranquility and purpose. As Seneca put it, true happiness is to enjoy the present without anxious dependence upon the future. Don't let the drama magnet's chaos steal your joy or derail your journey. Focus on what you can control, your own thoughts, actions, and reactions, and let the drama swirl around you without pulling you under. Remember, you have the power to create your own peace and happiness. Don't let the drama magnets of the world drag you down into their whirlpool of chaos. Stay true to yourself, prioritize your own well-being, and keep sailing towards calmer waters. Number 3. The naysayer, the pessimistic cloud, raining on your parade. All right, let's shine a light on the next character in our rogues gallery, the naysayer. They're the perpetual pessimists, the Debbie Downers, the folks who seem to have a knack for finding the dark cloud in every silver lining. You share an idea, a dream, a spark of enthusiasm, and they're right there with a bucket of cold water, ready to douse your flame. "That'll never work," they say. "It's too risky, too unrealistic, too you." Their negativity isn't just a passing comment. It's a persistent drizzle of doubt, slowly eroding your confidence and ambition. The Stoics, with their emphasis on reason and resilience, would urge us to guard against the naysayer's influence. Marcus Aurelius reminds us, "Our life is what our thoughts make it." If we allow the naysayer's pessimism to seep into our minds, it can color our perception of reality, making us hesitant, fearful, and ultimately less likely to pursue our goals. The naysayer in your life. Let's bring this to life with a few examples. You're excited about a new business venture, and you share your idea with a friend. Instead of encouragement, they bombard you with questions about the market, the competition, and the potential for failure. Or maybe you're considering a career change, and your family members raise concerns about financial stability and job security. Their intentions might be good. They might genuinely believe they're protecting you from disappointment. But their constant negativity can be incredibly discouraging, making you question your own judgment and capabilities. The Stoic strategy, turning negativity into fuel. So, how do you deal with a naysayer without letting their pessimism crush your spirit? The Stoics offer a few techniques to navigate these challenging interactions. 1. The power of why. Instead of getting defensive or shutting down, try asking the naysayer, "Why do you think that?" This simple question can force them to articulate their concerns more clearly, and it might even reveal that their negativity is rooted in their own fears and insecurities. 2. Seek the silver lining. Even the most pessimistic outlook can contain a kernel of truth. Instead of dismissing the naysayer's concerns outright, try to extract any valuable insights they might offer. Maybe their skepticism highlights a potential risk you hadn't considered, or maybe it challenges you to strengthen your plan. 3. Focus on your locus of control. The Stoics emphasize the importance of focusing on what's within our control. Epictetus taught, "Some things are in our control and others not." Your dreams, your goals, your efforts, those are within your control. The naysayer's opinions, not so much. Modern-day examples. The internet troll. Online spaces are teeming with naysayers, ready to pounce on any idea or opinion that doesn't align with their own. The Stoic approach. Don't feed the trolls. Engage with constructive criticism, but don't let negativity derail your online presence. The overprotective parent. Parents often want to shield their children from disappointment and failure, but their well-intentioned concerns can sometimes sound like a chorus of no's. The Stoic solution. Acknowledge their concerns, but gently remind them that you need to make your own choices and learn from your own experiences. The self-doubt. Gremlin. Sometimes the biggest naysayer is the voice inside your own head. It whispers doubts, fears, and insecurities, trying to hold you back from pursuing your dreams. The stoic response? Challenge those negative thoughts with reason and logic. Remind yourself of your strengths, your accomplishments, and your potential. Remember, the naysayer's negativity is often a reflection of their own limitations, not yours. Don't let their pessimism dim your light or extinguish your fire. As the contemporary Stoic philosopher William B. Irvine puts it, the goal of Stoicism is to live a happy life, and one way to do this is to avoid becoming overly dependent on things that are outside our control. Your happiness, your success, your dreams, those are within your control. So go out there and make them happen, even if the naysayers are shaking their heads. After all, the sweetest victories are often the ones that defy the odds and prove the doubters wrong. Number 4. The victim, the perils of the perpetual poor me. Mindset. Let's talk about a character that can be a bit trickier to spot, but whose influence can be just as draining, the victim. They see themselves as perpetually stuck in a game of life where the odds are stacked against them. Every setback, every challenge, every disappointment is proof that the universe is out to get them. They're the ones who always have a story about how they got the short end of the stick. Their boss is unfair, their co-workers are incompetent, their relationships are doomed from the start. It's always someone else's fault, some external force conspiring against them. Now, let's be clear, some people genuinely face hardship and injustice. But the victim we're talking about here uses their circumstances as a crutch, a way to avoid taking responsibility for their own choices and actions. They're stuck in a cycle of blame and self-pity, and it can be incredibly draining to be around them. The Stoics, with their emphasis on personal responsibility and resilience, would caution us against falling into the victim's trap. Epictetus famously said, "It's not what happens to you, but how you react to it that matters." In other words, we can't always control what life throws at us, but we can control how we respond. The victim in your circle. Think about it. You probably know someone who fits this description. Maybe it's that friend who's always complaining about their job, their relationship, or their luck. They might even try to guilt-trip you into feeling sorry for them or helping them out of their latest predicament. At first, you might feel sympathy for them, but over time, their constant negativity and lack of agency can start to wear you down. You might find yourself feeling resentful, frustrated, or even questioning your own ability to create positive change in your life. The Stoic strategy, compassionate detachment. So, how do you deal with a victim without getting sucked into their vortex of despair? The Stoics offer a balanced approach. 1. Empathy, not enabling. It's important to acknowledge the victim's feelings and show them compassion. But that doesn't mean you have to buy into their narrative or become their enabler. You can offer a listening ear without offering solutions or taking on their problems as your own. 2. Empowerment, not rescue. Instead of swooping in to save the day, encourage the victim to take ownership of their situation. Ask them questions like, "What steps could you take to improve this situation?" Or, "What resources are available to help you?" This empowers them to find their own solutions and break free from the victim mindset. 3. Protect your boundaries. The victim's negativity can be contagious. It's important to set boundaries to protect your own mental and emotional well-being. You can limit your interactions with them, redirect the conversation when it turns negative, or even politely, but firmly, express that you're not comfortable with their constant complaining. Remember, the Stoics believed that true strength comes from within. As Marcus Aurelius wrote in his Meditations, the impediment to action advances action. What stands in the way becomes the way. Instead of seeing themselves as victims of circumstance, the Stoics saw challenges as opportunities for growth and resilience. They focused on what they could control, their own thoughts, actions, and attitudes, and they used those tools to navigate life's inevitable obstacles. The bottom line. Dealing with a victim can be challenging, but it's important to remember that you're not responsible for their happiness or their choices. You can offer support and encouragement, but ultimately, it's up to them to take ownership of their lives and create positive change. By practicing compassionate detachment and setting healthy boundaries, you can protect your own well-being and avoid getting sucked into their vortex of negativity. Remember, you have the power to choose your own path, to focus on your own growth, and to create a life filled with joy and purpose. Don't let the victim's mindset dim your light or derail your journey. Stay strong, stay positive, and keep moving forward. Number 5. The toxic positivist. The perils of good vibes only. All right, let's talk about a character that might seem harmless at first glance, but whose positivity can actually be pretty toxic, the toxic positivist. They're the ones who are always chirping, "Just look on the bright side," or "Everything happens for a reason." They're the human equivalent of a glitter bomb exploding with forced cheerfulness and saccharine platitudes. Now, don't get me wrong, positivity is a great thing. But the toxic positivist takes it to an extreme, denying the validity of negative emotions and experiences. They insist on seeing the world through rose-colored glasses, even when those glasses are cracked and fogged up. The Stoics, with their emphasis on accepting reality as it is, would caution against this kind of blind optimism. Marcus Aurelius reminds us, "If you are distressed by anything external, the pain is not due to the thing itself, but to your estimate of it. And this you have the power to revoke at any moment." In other words, we can't always control what happens to us, but we can control how we interpret and respond to it. The toxic positivist's insistence on good vibes only can be invalidating and dismissive. It's like telling someone who's grieving to just cheer up, or someone who's struggling with anxiety to think positive thoughts. It's not helpful, and it can actually make people feel worse. The toxic positivist in the wild. Let's bring this to life with a few examples. You're venting to a friend about a stressful situation at work, and they respond with, "Well, at least you have a job." Or maybe you're feeling down about a personal setback, and someone tells you, "Everything happens for a reason, so just trust the universe." Their intentions might be good. They might genuinely want to cheer you up or offer support. But their toxic positivity can feel like a slap in the face, a denial of your very real emotions and experiences. The Stoic strategy, embracing the full spectrum of human experience. So how do you deal with a toxic positivist without letting their forced cheerfulness invalidate your feelings? The Stoics offer a more balanced and nuanced approach. 1. Acknowledge and validate. When someone is expressing a negative emotion, the first step is to acknowledge and validate their feelings. You can say something like, "That sounds really tough. I'm here for you if you want to talk about it." 2. Offer support, not platitudes. Instead of offering empty platitudes, try to offer genuine support and understanding. This could involve listening without judgment, offering practical help, or simply being present for the person. 3. Set boundaries. If the toxic positivist's relentless optimism is becoming too much to handle, don't be afraid to set boundaries. You can politely but firmly let them know that you need space to process your emotions, or you can simply disengage from the conversation. The Stoic reminder. Remember, the Stoics believed in embracing the full spectrum of human experience, both the good and the bad. As Seneca wrote, "We suffer more often in imagination than in reality." By acknowledging and accepting our negative emotions, we can learn from them, grow from them, and ultimately become more resilient and adaptable. The bottom line. Toxic positivity is a subtle but pervasive form of negativity. It denies the validity of our emotions and experiences, and it can prevent us from dealing with challenges in a healthy and constructive way. By embracing the full spectrum of human experience, both the light and the shadow, we can cultivate a more resilient and authentic approach to life. We can learn from our struggles, grow from our pain, and ultimately find a deeper and more sustainable sense of happiness and well-being. So, the next time you encounter a toxic positivist, remember that it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to feel sad, angry, or frustrated. These emotions are a natural part of the human experience, and they deserve to be acknowledged and validated. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Number 6. The manipulator, the puppet master. Pulling your strings. Now, let's shine the spotlight on a character that can be as elusive as a shadow, yet their impact can be deeply felt. The manipulator. They're the puppet masters, the string pullers, the ones who subtly orchestrate situations to their advantage, often leaving you feeling confused, guilty, or even questioning your own sanity. The manipulator is a master of psychological maneuvering. They might use flattery, guilt trips, passive-aggressive comments, or even outright lies to get what they want. They prey on your kindness, your empathy, and your desire to please, twisting your good intentions to serve their own agenda. The Stoics, with their emphasis on reason and virtue, would warn us against falling prey to the manipulator's tactics. Marcus Aurelius famously said, "The best revenge is to be unlike him who performed the injustice." In other words, don't let the manipulator's actions drag you down to their level. Maintain your integrity, your values, and your sense of self. The manipulator in disguise. The manipulator can be incredibly difficult to spot, especially at first. They often come across as charming, helpful, and even caring. But beneath the surface lies a web of deceit and control. Let's paint a picture. You have a friend who always seems to get their way, subtly nudging you towards decisions that benefit them. They might make you feel guilty for saying no, or they might shower you with compliments and favors until you feel obligated to reciprocate. Or perhaps you have a coworker who's a master of office politics, playing people against each other to advance their own career. They might gossip, spread rumors, or even take credit for your work. The Stoic strategy, setting boundaries and reclaiming your power. So, how do you deal with a manipulator without becoming their puppet? The Stoics offer a few strategies to help you reclaim your power and protect your well-being. 1. Awareness is key. The first step is recognizing the signs of manipulation. Pay attention to how you feel around this person. Do you often feel guilty, confused, or like you're walking on eggshells? Do they consistently try to control your decisions or make you feel bad about yourself? If so, you might be dealing with a manipulator. 2. Set clear boundaries. Once you've identified the manipulator, it's crucial to set clear boundaries. This means saying no when you're uncomfortable with something and not letting them guilt-trip you into changing your mind. It also means being assertive and standing up for yourself when they try to cross your boundaries. 3. Don't engage in their games. The manipulator thrives on drama and conflict. They want to pull you into their web of manipulation and control. The best way to counteract this is to simply refuse to engage. Don't argue with them, don't try to reason with them, and don't let them get under your skin. Focus on your own values. The Stoics believed that true strength comes from living in accordance with your values and principles. When you're clear about what's important to you, it's easier to resist the manipulator's attempts to sway you. Remember, you have the power to choose how you respond to the manipulator. You don't have to let them control you or dictate your actions. As Epictetus said, "No one can make you feel inferior without your consent." By setting boundaries, refusing to engage in their games, and focusing on your own values, you can reclaim your power and protect your well-being. You can break free from their strings and live a life that's authentic and true to yourself. The bottom line. Dealing with a manipulator can be challenging, but it's important to remember that you're not powerless. You have the strength and resilience to resist their tactics and maintain your integrity. By staying true to yourself and prioritizing your own well-being, you can navigate these challenging relationships with grace and wisdom. And remember, the most powerful weapon against manipulation is self-awareness and a firm commitment to your own values. Number 7. The Time Vampire, guarding your precious resource against the chronological thief. Alright folks, let's talk about a character that can sneak up on you, draining your energy and leaving you feeling like you've run a marathon without ever leaving your chair. The Time Vampire. They're the ones who seem to have an endless supply of time, but ironically, they're always stealing yours. They might be the chatty co-worker who corners you by the coffee machine, regaling you with tales of their weekend exploits, while your to-do list grows longer by the minute. Or maybe it's the friend who calls you for hours on end, venting about their problems without ever asking about yours. They might even be a family member who expects you to be available at their beck and call, regardless of your own schedule or commitments. The Time Vampire might not have fangs or a thirst for blood, but they do have an insatiable appetite for your most precious resource, time. And if you're not careful, they can suck you dry, leaving you feeling frustrated, overwhelmed, and unfulfilled. The Stoics, with their emphasis on mindful living and purposeful action, would caution us against falling prey to the Time Vampire's charms. Seneca, the Roman Stoic philosopher, famously said, "It is not that we have a short time to live, but that we waste a lot of it." In other words, life is not about the quantity of time we have, but the quality of how we spend it. If we allow the Time Vampire to dictate our schedule and consume our energy, we're essentially giving away our power to shape our own lives. Spotting the Time Vampire. The Time Vampire can be tricky to identify because their intentions are often good. They might genuinely enjoy your company, or they might truly need your support. But their lack of boundaries and consideration for your time can create a significant drain on your well-being. Here are a few telltale signs of a Time Vampire. they're always available. They seem to have endless amounts of free time, and they're always ready to chat, hang out, or lend an ear. They're conversation hogs. They dominate conversations, rarely asking about your life or showing interest in your perspective. They're oblivious to social cues. They don't pick up on hints that you're busy, distracted, or need to end the conversation. They guilt-trip you. If you try to set boundaries or limit your interactions with them, they might make you feel guilty or selfish. The stoic strategy, time management, and assertiveness. So, how do you protect your precious time from the time vampire? The Stoics would offer a two-pronged approach. 1. Time management. The Stoics were big on time management and prioritization. They understood that time is a finite resource, and we need to be intentional about how we use it. Set clear priorities. Identify your most important goals and tasks, and allocate your time accordingly. Create a schedule. Use a calendar or planner to schedule your day, including dedicated time for work, personal projects, relaxation, and social interactions. Learn to say no. Don't be afraid to say no to requests or invitations that don't align with your priorities or that would drain your energy. 2. Assertive communication. The Stoics also believed in clear and direct communication. When dealing with a time vampire, it's important to be assertive and set boundaries. Be direct and honest. If someone is taking up too much of your time, let them know in a polite but firm way. You can say something like, "I'm in the middle of something right now. Can we talk later?" Or, "I appreciate you wanting to chat, but I have a lot on my plate today." Offer alternatives. If someone is constantly seeking your attention, try offering alternative ways to connect. You could suggest a shorter phone call, a quick coffee date, or even an email exchange. Don't feel guilty. Remember, you have the right to protect your time and energy. Don't let anyone make you feel guilty for setting boundaries or prioritizing your own needs. Remember, time is a gift, not a burden. It's an opportunity to create, to connect, and to live a life of purpose and meaning. Don't let the time vampires of the world steal your precious moments. As Marcus Aurelius wisely said, "It is not death that a man should fear, but he should fear never beginning to live." So take control of your time, set boundaries, and prioritize the activities and relationships that truly nourish your soul. By doing so, you'll not only protect yourself from the time vampires drain, but also create a life that's rich, fulfilling, and truly your own. And number 8, the egotist, navigating the minefield of inflated self-importance. All right, let's turn our attention to a character that can be as dazzling as a supernova, yet as draining as a black hole. The egotist. They're the ones who believe they're the center of the universe, the main character in everyone else's story. Their conversations revolve around their accomplishments, their opinions, and their general awesomeness. Now, a healthy dose of self-confidence is a good thing. But the egotist takes it to an extreme, their self-regard ballooning to epic proportions. They might name-drop, brag about their achievements, or constantly seek validation and admiration. Being around them can feel like being trapped in a one-person show, where you're relegated to the role of a silent audience member, applauding on cue. The Stoics, with their emphasis on humility and self-awareness, would caution against the egotist's inflated sense of self. Epictetus wisely said, "It is impossible for a man to learn what he thinks he already knows." The egotist convinced of their own superiority, is often closed off to new ideas, feedback, or even genuine connection. The egotist in your midst. Let's get real. We've all encountered an egotist at some point. Maybe it's that friend who always has to one-up your stories, or the co-worker who takes credit for your ideas. They might even be a family member who constantly reminds you of their achievements and expects you to be in awe of their greatness. At first, their confidence might seem impressive, even inspiring. But soon enough, you realize that their self-focus is a one-way street. They're not interested in hearing about your life, your struggles, or your dreams. They're too busy basking in the glow of their own spotlight. The Stoic strategy, humility and perspective. So, how do you deal with an egotist without letting their self-importance deflate your own sense of worth? The Stoics offer a few strategies to navigate these tricky interactions. 1. Practice humility. The Stoics believed that true strength comes from humility, not arrogance. Remember that everyone has their own strengths and weaknesses, and no one is perfect. Don't let the egotist's bravado make you feel small or insignificant. 2. Maintain perspective. The Stoics also emphasize the importance of keeping things in perspective. Marcus Aurelius wrote in his Meditations, "You could leave life right now. Let that determine what you do and say and think." In other words, don't get caught up in the egotist's petty games and inflated sense of self. Focus on what truly matters in life, your values, your relationships, and your contributions to the world. 3. Set boundaries. If the egotist's constant self-promotion is becoming too much to handle, don't be afraid to set boundaries. You can politely excuse yourself from the conversation, redirect the topic to something more inclusive, or even gently but firmly challenge their assumptions. Remember, the egotist's behavior is often a mask for deeper insecurities. They might be trying to compensate for feelings of inadequacy or a lack of genuine connection. As Seneca wrote, "There is no great genius without some touch of madness." By practicing humility, maintaining perspective and setting boundaries, you can navigate these challenging interactions with grace and wisdom. You can avoid getting caught up in their ego-driven drama and focus on building relationships that are based on mutual respect and genuine connection. The bottom line. Dealing with an egotist can be draining, but it's important to remember that their behavior is a reflection of their own struggles, not yours. Don't let their inflated self-importance diminish your own light or make you question your worth. Stay true to yourself, focus on your own values, and surround yourself with people who uplift and support you. Remember, true confidence comes from within, not from external validation or comparison. By cultivating your own inner strength and self-awareness, you can navigate the minefield of egotism with grace and wisdom, and build relationships that are based on genuine connection and mutual respect. Number 9. The hedonist, the pleasure seeker on the treadmill of instant gratification. All right, folks, let's turn our attention to a character that might seem like they're having all the fun, but whose lifestyle can actually be a trap. The hedonist. They're the pleasure seekers, the thrill chasers, the ones who live for the moment, constantly chasing the next high. Parties, indulgences, instant gratification, that's their motto. They might be the life of the party, always up for a good time. But their relentless pursuit of pleasure can lead to a shallow and ultimately unfulfilling existence. The Stoics, with their emphasis on moderation and virtue, would caution against the hedonist's excessive lifestyle. Epicurus, often misunderstood as a proponent of pure hedonism, actually advocated for a more nuanced approach to pleasure. He believed that true happiness comes from ataraxia, tranquility, and aponia, the absence of pain, which can be achieved through moderation, self-discipline, and the cultivation of meaningful relationships. In other words, it's not about denying yourself pleasure altogether, but about choosing pleasures wisely and avoiding those that lead to long-term pain or dissatisfaction. The hedonist in today's world. The hedonist is alive and well in today's consumer culture. We're constantly bombarded with messages telling us to buy more, do more, experience more. We're encouraged to seek instant gratification, to indulge in every whim and desire, regardless of the consequences. Think about it. Have you ever scrolled through social media and felt a pang of envy seeing someone's lavish vacation or extravagant lifestyle? Or have you ever found yourself impulse buying something you didn't really need just for the fleeting thrill of acquiring something new? That's the hedonist's influence at work. The Stoic strategy, mindful moderation. So, how do you navigate a world that's constantly tempting you with instant gratification? How do you avoid falling into the hedonist's trap of endless pleasure-seeking? The Stoics offer a few strategies to help you find balance and cultivate a more sustainable sense of happiness. 1. Delayed gratification. The Stoics believed in the power of delayed gratification. Instead of indulging in every impulse, try to cultivate the discipline to wait, to savor the anticipation, and to appreciate the rewards of patience and self-control. 2. Mindful consumption. Be mindful of your consumption habits, whether it's food, alcohol, shopping, or even social media. Ask yourself, is this truly adding value to my life, or is it just a fleeting pleasure that will leave me feeling empty in the long run? 3. Cultivate inner joy. True happiness comes from within, not from external sources. Focus on cultivating inner joy through activities that nourish your mind, body, and soul. This could include meditation, spending time in nature, pursuing creative hobbies, or building meaningful relationships. Remember, the Stoics believed that true happiness comes from living a virtuous life in accordance with nature and reason. As Seneca wrote, "He who indulges empty fears earns himself real fears." By chasing fleeting pleasures and neglecting our deeper needs, we set ourselves up for disappointment and dissatisfaction. The bottom line. The hedonist's lifestyle might seem appealing on the surface, but it's ultimately a hollow pursuit. True happiness comes from cultivating inner peace, pursuing meaningful activities, and building strong relationships. By practicing mindful moderation and focusing on what truly matters, you can break free from the hedonist's trap and create a life that's rich, fulfilling, and sustainable. Remember, happiness is not about having it all. It's about appreciating what you have and finding joy in the simple things. Number 10. The materialist, breaking free from the golden handcuffs of consumerism. All right, folks, let's shift gears and talk about a character that's all too common in today's world. The materialist. They're the ones who measure their worth, and the worth of others, by the size of their bank accounts, the brands they wear, and the cars they drive. They're constantly chasing the next shiny object, convinced that happiness lies in acquiring more stuff. Now, there's nothing wrong with enjoying the finer things in life, but the materialist takes it to an extreme, their identity and self-worth becoming entangled with their possessions. They're on a never-ending treadmill of consumerism, always striving for the next upgrade, the next status symbol, the next dopamine hit of acquisition. The Stoics, with their emphasis on inner virtue and the pursuit of wisdom, would caution against the materialists' misguided quest for happiness. Seneca, the Roman Stoic philosopher, famously said, "Wealth consists not in having great possessions, but in having few wants." In other words, true riches lie not in what you own, but in your ability to be content with what you have. The materialists' relentless pursuit of possessions can lead to a shallow and ultimately unfulfilling existence. They might accumulate wealth and status, but they often lack genuine connection, inner peace, and a sense of purpose. The materialist in the modern world. The materialist is thriving in today's consumer-driven society. We're constantly bombarded with advertisements, social media influencers flaunting their latest purchases, and the pressure to keep up with the Joneses. It's easy to get caught up in the game, to believe that happiness lies in owning the latest gadget, the biggest house, or the most expensive clothes. But the truth is, material possessions can only provide temporary satisfaction. They can't fill the void of a meaningful life or provide lasting happiness. The Stoic strategy, redefining wealth and happiness. So, how do you break free from the materialist's trap and find a more sustainable path to happiness? The Stoics offer a few strategies to help you redefine wealth and cultivate a deeper sense of fulfillment. 1. Focus on internal goods. The Stoics believe that true wealth lies in internal goods, such as wisdom, virtue, and good character. These are the things that can't be taken away from you, and they're the foundation of a meaningful and fulfilling life. 2. Practice gratitude. Take time each day to appreciate what you have, rather than focusing on what you lack. This could involve keeping a gratitude journal, expressing appreciation to loved ones, or simply taking a moment to savor the beauty of the world around you. 3. Mindful consumption. Be intentional about your purchases. Ask yourself, do I really need this? Will it truly add value to my life? Avoid impulse buys and focus on acquiring things that align with your values and priorities. Find fulfillment in experiences, not things. Instead of chasing material possessions, invest in experiences that create lasting memories and enrich your life. This could involve traveling, learning new skills, volunteering your time, or simply spending quality time with loved ones. Remember, the Stoics believed that true happiness comes from living a virtuous life in accordance with nature and reason. As Marcus Aurelius wrote, "Very little is needed to make a happy life. It is all within yourself, in your way of thinking." By focusing on internal goods, practicing gratitude, and being mindful of your consumption habits, you can break free from the materialist's trap and create a life that's rich in meaning, purpose, and genuine happiness. The bottom line. The materialist's pursuit of possessions might seem like the path to happiness, but it's ultimately a dead end. True wealth lies in cultivating inner virtues, appreciating what you have, and finding fulfillment in experiences, not things. By adopting a Stoic mindset and redefining your priorities, you can break free from the golden handcuffs of consumerism and create a life that's truly rich and fulfilling. Remember, happiness is not about what you own. It's about who you are and how you choose to live your life. Number 11. The Dogmatist, the Perils of the My Way or the Highway. Mentality. All right, folks, let's turn our attention to a character that can be as rigid as a brick wall and as stubborn as a mule, the dogmatist. They're the ones who are absolutely, positively, 100% certain they're right about everything. Their beliefs are set in stone, their opinions are non-negotiable, and any attempt to challenge their worldview is met with a swift and dismissive, "Well, that's just wrong." Now, having strong convictions isn't necessarily a bad thing, but the dogmatist takes it to an extreme, their beliefs becoming a fortress they refuse to leave, even when faced with evidence to the contrary. They're closed off to new ideas, alternative perspectives, and the possibility that they might, just might, be wrong about something. The Stoics, with their emphasis on reason, open-mindedness, and the pursuit of wisdom, would caution against the dogmatist's rigid mindset. Epictetus famously said, "It is impossible for a man to learn what he thinks he already knows." The dogmatist, convinced of their own infallibility, is essentially shutting themselves off from the opportunity to grow, learn, and evolve. The dogmatist in your life. Let's bring this to life with a few examples. You're having a political discussion with a friend, and they refuse to even consider your point of view, dismissing it as liberal nonsense or conservative propaganda. Or maybe you're debating a controversial topic with a family member and they shut down any attempt at dialogue, insisting that their way is the only right way. Their dogmatism can be frustrating, even infuriating. It's like trying to have a conversation with a brick wall. Their refusal to engage in open-minded dialogue can stifle growth, create division, and ultimately damage relationships. The Stoic strategy, embracing intellectual humility. So, how do you deal with a dogmatist without getting sucked into a pointless argument or losing your own cool? The Stoics offer a few strategies to navigate these challenging interactions. 1. Seek common ground. Instead of focusing on your differences, try to find areas of agreement. This can help to build rapport and create a more receptive environment for dialogue. 2. Ask questions, not make statements. Instead of trying to convince the dogmatist that they're wrong, try asking them questions about their beliefs. This can help them to reflect on their own assumptions and potentially open them up to new perspectives. 3. Appeal to reason and evidence. If the dogmatist is open to it, try to present them with evidence or logical arguments that challenge their beliefs. But be prepared for resistance and don't get discouraged if they're not immediately receptive. Agree to disagree. Sometimes the best course of action is to simply agree to disagree. Not every conversation needs to be a debate, and it's okay to walk away from a discussion that's going nowhere. Remember, the Stoics believed that the pursuit of wisdom is a lifelong journey. As Seneca wrote, "Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end." By embracing intellectual humility and being open to new ideas, we can continue to grow, learn, and evolve throughout our lives. The bottom line. Dogmatism can be a major obstacle to growth, understanding, and connection. By embracing intellectual humility, seeking common ground, and being open to new ideas, we can foster a more constructive and inclusive dialogue. Remember, no one has a monopoly on truth. We all have something to learn from each other, even those with whom we disagree. So, the next time you encounter a dogmatist, try to approach the conversation with curiosity, respect, and a willingness to listen. You might be surprised at what you discover. And if all else fails, remember the Stoic wisdom of Marcus Aurelius. Waste no more time arguing about what a good man should be. Be one. Number 12. The envious, the green-eyed monster, undermining your inner peace. All right, folks, let's talk about a character that can lurk in the shadows of our relationships, casting a dark cloud over our own happiness. The envious. They're the ones who can't seem to celebrate your successes or feel genuine joy for your accomplishments. Instead, they harbor a secret resentment, a gnawing sense of discontent that their own life doesn't measure up. The envious might downplay your achievements, make snide remarks, or even try to sabotage your efforts. Their envy is like a poison, slowly corroding their own well-being and potentially damaging your relationship with them. The Stoics, with their emphasis on inner contentment and focusing on what's within our control, would warn against the destructive nature of envy. Epictetus famously said, "Happiness and freedom begin with a clear understanding of one principle. Some things are within our control, and some things are not." The envious person is fixated on externals, other people's possessions, achievements, or relationships, things that are ultimately outside their control. The envious in your life. Let's get real. We've all encountered envy at some point, either in ourselves or in others. Maybe it's that friend who always seems to find a flaw in your new outfit, or the coworker who subtly undermines your accomplishments in front of the boss. They might even be a family member who can't seem to genuinely celebrate your successes, always finding a way to bring the conversation back to their own perceived shortcomings. Their envy can be subtle or overt, but it's always there, lurking beneath the surface, casting a shadow over your interactions. It can make you feel self-conscious, defensive, or even guilty for your own good fortune. The Stoic strategy, cultivating gratitude and self-compassion. So, how do you deal with the envious without letting their negativity poison your own happiness? The Stoics offer a few strategies to help you navigate these challenging relationships. 1. Practice gratitude. The Stoics believed that gratitude is the antidote to envy. By focusing on what you have rather than what you lack, you can cultivate a sense of contentment and appreciation that makes it harder for envy to take root. 2. Cultivate self-compassion. The envious person is often struggling with their own insecurities and feelings of inadequacy. Instead of getting angry or defensive, try to extend compassion towards them. Remember that their envy is a reflection of their own internal struggles, not a judgment on your worth. 3. Set boundaries. If the envious person's behavior is becoming toxic or harmful, don't be afraid to set boundaries. You can limit your interactions with them, avoid sharing your successes or achievements, or even politely but firmly address their behavior. Focus on your own path. The Stoics emphasized the importance of focusing on your own journey, not comparing yourself to others. As Marcus Aurelius wrote, "The impediment to action advances action. What stands in the way becomes the way." Instead of getting caught up in the comparison game, focus on your own goals, your own values, and your own definition of success. Remember, the envious person's negativity is a reflection of their own internal struggles, not a judgment on your worth. As Seneca wrote, "We are more often frightened than hurt, and we suffer more in imagination than in reality." Don't let their envy steal your joy or diminish your accomplishments. Focus on your own path, cultivate gratitude, and surround yourself with people who genuinely support and celebrate your successes. The bottom line. Dealing with envy can be challenging, but it's important to remember that you're not responsible for other people's feelings or their choices. You can offer compassion and understanding, but ultimately, it's up to them to deal with their own envy and find their own path to happiness. By practicing gratitude, cultivating self-compassion, and focusing on your own journey, you can rise above the negativity of envy and create a life that's filled with joy, purpose, and genuine connection. Remember, true happiness comes from within, not from comparing yourself to others or seeking their validation. Number 13. The apathetic, the silent siren of stagnation. Don't get lulled into complacency. All right, folks, let's wrap up our exploration of personalities the Stoics would warn us about with a character that might seem harmless, even benign, but whose influence can be surprisingly insidious. The apathetic. They're the ones who just don't care. Not in a malicious way, but in a sort of meh kind of way. They're indifferent, disengaged, and seemingly unmoved by the world around them. They might be the friend who never seems to have an opinion on anything, the co-worker who just goes through the motions, or the family member who's always content to sit on the sidelines, watching life pass them by. Their apathy might seem like a peaceful state, but it's actually a silent siren, luring you towards a life of stagnation and missed opportunities. The Stoics, with their emphasis on purposeful living and engagement with the world, would caution against the apathetic's passive approach to life. Seneca once said, "Life is like a play. It's not the length, but the excellence of the acting that matters." The apathetic, by refusing to fully participate in the play of life, misses out on the richness, the challenges, and the ultimate rewards of a life well lived. The apathetic in your world. Let's bring this to life with a few examples. You're excited about a new project at work, but your teammate's response is a lukewarm, "Sure, whatever." Or maybe you're planning a weekend getaway with friends, and one of them just shrugs and says, "I don't really care where we go." Their apathy can be contagious, dampening your own enthusiasm and making you question the point of even trying. Their lack of engagement can also be frustrating and isolating. It's like trying to have a conversation with a blank wall. They offer no feedback, no input, no spark of inspiration. Their indifference can make you feel like you're talking to yourself, and it can drain your own energy and motivation. The Stoic strategy, embracing enthusiasm and purposeful action. So, how do you deal with the apathetic without letting their indifference suck you into their vortex of complacency? The Stoics offer a few strategies to help you stay engaged, motivated, and passionate about life. 1. Lead by example. The best way to combat apathy is to embody the opposite: enthusiasm, passion, and a zest for life. Be the one who brings energy and excitement to the table. Your positive attitude might just spark a flicker of interest in the apathetic. 2. Find common ground. Try to find something that the apathetic person does care about, even if it's just a small thing. This could be a hobby, a TV show, or a shared experience. Use that common ground to build a connection and encourage them to step outside their comfort zone. 3. Challenge their perspective. Gently but firmly challenge the apathetic person's indifference. Ask them questions like, "Why don't you care?" or "What would it take to get you excited about this?" This might help them to reflect on their own apathy and potentially spark a change in their attitude. Set boundaries. If the apathetic person's lack of engagement is consistently draining your energy or hindering your progress, don't be afraid to set boundaries. You can limit your interactions with them. Focus on connecting with people who are more supportive and enthusiastic, or even politely but firmly express that you need more from them in the relationship. Remember, the Stoics believed that life is a precious gift, and we have a duty to make the most of it. As Marcus Aurelius wrote, The happiness of your life depends upon the quality of your thoughts. Therefore, guard accordingly, and take care that you entertain no notions unsuitable to virtue and reasonable nature. Don't let the apathetic's indifference drag you down into a life of complacency and missed opportunities. Embrace your passions, pursue your goals, and live a life that's full of purpose and meaning. The bottom line. Apathy can be a subtle but powerful force, slowly eroding our motivation, our joy, and our sense of purpose. By embracing enthusiasm, purposeful action, and setting healthy boundaries, we can resist the apathetic's pull and create a life that's vibrant, fulfilling, and truly our own. Remember, life is too short to be lived on autopilot. So, get out there, embrace your passions, and make every moment count. Don't let the apathetic's indifference dim your light or extinguish your fire. Live a life that's worth remembering. All right, folks, we've journeyed through the Stoics' gallery of personalities to watch out for, from the complainers who drain your energy to the apathetic who tempt you with complacency. It's been a wild ride, hasn't it? But here's the thing, while it's important to be aware of these potentially toxic personalities, the real power lies in your response. The Stoics teach us that we can't control the world around us, but we can control our own thoughts, actions, and reactions. So the next time you encounter a naysayer raining on your parade, a manipulator pulling your strings, or an egotist hogging the spotlight, remember the Stoic wisdom we've explored today. Set boundaries, practice detachment, cultivate gratitude, and focus on what's within your control. Remember, you're not a victim of circumstance. You're the captain of your own ship, navigating the sometimes choppy waters of human relationships. And with a little Stoic wisdom as your compass, you can steer clear of the rocks and reefs and chart a course towards a life filled with meaningful connections, inner peace, and unshakable joy. So, go forth and be the master of your own fate. Surround yourself with people who uplift and inspire you, and don't be afraid to walk away from those who drain your energy or dim your light. As Marcus Aurelius so eloquently put it, the happiness of your life depends upon the quality of your thoughts. So choose your thoughts wisely, choose your company wisely, and create a life that's truly worth living. Thanks for joining me on this Stoic adventure. Until next time, stay strong, stay mindful, and keep shining your light.